We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, show to camera, John Rich. It is 94 at WIP. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. We need more Tupac on the show. Good work, Seltzer. You can watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the casino with Delaware Park Sportsbook, the region's number one sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. Today's question, who has a better chance to win a championship this year? A, the Flyers, B, the Sixers. I had said earlier in the show, I think today might be the first day that more people wake up and say, Flyers actually have a better shot this year than the Sixers. And I'm actually starting to think they might have a much better shot. Anyway, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll update you on the results of that as we move through the 1 o'clock hour. All right, let's welcome in. He is with us, of course, every Wednesday at this time for insight on the Eagles and otherwise and all sorts of stuff to get into with him today, the great Hall of Famer, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. You guys are kind of right where I was going to ask you to go. I was kind of curious to see if you sensed any uptick in Flyers enthusiasm.
Yes.
Because it's become obvious to me that they're pretty good. And, I mean, Glenn and I are both real hockey fans. Mm-hmm. We really like the sport. We do. I mean, he comes from Buffalo. So, in fact, when the Flyers won their second Stanley Cup, beat Buffalo up in the odd, Glenn and I were both there long before we ever knew each other.
Wow.
I was there covering the game for the Philadelphia Bulletin. And Glenn was there as a teenage Sabre fan, sitting in the same hot building watching that game. Never knew it, never met each other until much later. But we both really like hockey, and every weekend we try to get hockey talk started, and it just goes nowhere. And I was just wondering if you guys were starting to pick up on a little, just a little bit of a rumbling that people are starting to pay attention to this team.
Rumbling's a good way to put it. We're getting more calls. We're talking about it more ourselves. I mean, look, mm-hmm. It's fun. I mean, you want to feel – I mean, Ray, I've always believed one of the most important things in life is hope.
Sure.
And it, as ridiculous as it sounds, even when the Sixers were horrendous earlier this decade, you know, with the tanking – or last decade now, the tanking, there was actually hope, not for that season, but there was hope for a process, if you will.
Correct.
The process. And
correct.
I think that kind of helped a lot of people stay engaged, even though they go out there and win 19 games or 18 games or 10 games.
Right.
I thought the Flyers, for a good long while, there was no hope.
Nothing.
And people are starting to feel it now, rightfully so. They're good. Look, the biggest of all, they got the goaltender, right? I mean, that's the biggest. But they have a roster.
And they got a coach.
And
that was one of the things that when the decision was made to hire Vigneault, I was fully in with it because, you know, he's an accomplished coach. He's won everywhere he's been. I know it didn't end wonderfully well for him in New York, but – one of the things that I said, and if you look at his track record wherever he's coached, the first year is a good year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a quick turnaround kind of coach, and that's really what this team needed. I mean, they really needed somebody that would get people talking about this team again. And he has sure done that.
Yeah.
And you know, the pickups and the pickups at the trade deadline were not superstars, but the kinds of good, useful, grinding kind of players that you need.
Yep.
Gave them a little depth up front. I'll tell you one thing. The division they're in is tough.
Yeah, it is.
And all those teams got better at the trade deadline. But I'm excited about them. I mean, for the first time, again, speaking as a hockey guy, it's fun to have the team matter again. And it's been a long time since we could say that.
Totally. And look,
we can get behind the way they play.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to show up. You know the effort is consistent. You can't say that for the Sixers.
No.
You know the hockey they play, the brand of hockey they play. It's intense. It's demanding. It's exactly what I want to see.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is really cool. That hasn't been the case.
No, it is not.
In recent years.
I totally agree.
All of a sudden, it's like the team is taking the shape that I hoped for some time, and it's like, you know, dream come true. Of course. We'll see when playoff time rolls around.
Right. And it's still got work to do to make the playoffs, but it's looking good now.
I agree with you.
All right, Ray, all the Howie Roseman stuff, John and I have been discussing it, and the phone calls have been, I think, interesting today, really interesting, because people are having very different reactions to what Howie said yesterday. There's different interpretations.
Okay.
Howie, of course, spoke earlier today with Angelo. With what you've heard from Howie, how do you interpret what he said? I mean, amongst other things, we're trying to decide is what he has said, even though he didn't use the term "we're rebuilding," is this code?
He intentionally tried to say we're not rebuilding. He said we're retooling.
Right,
right.
Do you think, Ray, that this is code for rebuilding? How do you interpret what he said?
They shouldn't be thinking rebuilding. They shouldn't be thinking rebuilding. In the division that they're in, they got to be the best team in the division. So this is not the time to rebuild. I mean, you're the one team in your division that's not changing head coaches. You're the team in the division with the best quarterback. You're not rebuilding. I think retooling. Now, do they have work to do? I'm 100% on board with you there. They do, no question. And this draft is really important. This offseason and free agency, really important, because they have – holes.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't talk around it. I mean, they do. But I definitely think that they should be thinking about, hey, we're going right back at it. You know, we're not taking a big step back to work our way forward.
Well, he's hoping they don't take a step back. He's warning us this is a, quote, retooling. It may end up looking like a rebuild because we have no idea what we're going to do on defense. We know we got a quarterback. We know we got some skill guys. But then seems like a lot of guys are old, and the old guys we were depending upon have shown us they're probably not worth the money we're paying them, and we might even bring one of them back and overpay them again, which goes against the whole retooling, rebuilding model. But, you know, the fact that he's broken these seasons, he's made new seasons, the 17-18-19 season – was one cluster.
Correct.
Now he's saying the 2021 and 22 season is the, I don't know, piece of work that he's handling right now.
Right.
He's telling us that it's a work in progress. You know, like, I'm not sure how things are going to go right away. I think he's tempering our expectations to some degree, which are always sky high.
Right, sure.
I think it's smart of him temper those expectations.
Here's the thing, Ray. I think,
but I do think he's telling us it's not going to go the way you want it to go all the time.
I think that's part of it, and also, Ray, like, regardless of how we label it—rebuild, retool—I've even saw someone said reload. All right, whatever. We'll continue to discuss that. But regardless of how you phrase it, he's clearly saying we're going to take a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that approach? I mean, the way he laid it out. Do you think he's on point, or do you think he's veering off of the way he should be?
No, I think he was pretty clear where he needed to be clear, which was we're not going to try to do the 2017 playbook again, where we're going to go out and sign a whole bunch of veteran guys on one-year contracts and hope it all pans out.
So
in 2017, it did to a remarkable degree. I don't know. I mean, they might go the next 10 years and not hit on as many one-year contracts as they did that year.
But with
part of the reason they won it.
I agree. But with LeGarrette Blount, like, if they had a hole, let's say they get maybe – I mean, they have a lot of holes here, right? Would they actually not sign this year if the circumstances presented of a LeGarrette Blount 2017, a Chris Long 2017, a Patrick Robinson 2017? Like, would they actually not sign that guy and say, I'll just ride with – someone else in the absence?
No. I mean, that's not how I take it. The way I took it was 2017, because they didn't have a ton of draft picks. They were going to have to fill their holes with those kinds of guys, you know, and hope that you hope that you bat 750 with them, you know. And that year they batted 850. You know, I mean, almost every one of those guys came in. Like, I didn't think Patrick Robinson. I thought Patrick Robinson was just a guy.
We thought he might even get cut in camp.
Yeah, I mean, and in training camp he looked exactly like that. Yeah. And then they kept him on the schedule, kept him on the roster, and he winds up having a really good year. And you go right down the line. I didn't know Chris Long had that much left, but he did. I wasn't sure that LeGarrette Blount would fit in, but he did. You know, and then the middle of the season, you go get Jay Ajayi. He comes in and contributes. So everything, Howie had the Midas touch that year. But I think he recognizes now, and I think maybe to a point he believed that he had the Midas touch forever. And then it came back last year, and it went the other way. So I think now he understands that was kind of one other aspect of 2017, how everything that could go right went right. But you're not going to get that every year. So I think what he's saying now is, look, we're not going to do that again because we realize you can't do that again. But if the opportunity comes along, and I think they're putting a lot in this draft, I think they understand this is a very important draft. But not to the exclusion of if the right guy is sort of sitting out there and it makes sense for them that, you know what, no, we're not going there because that's somewhere we don't want to go. I think they'll be selective about it. The idea is that they're going to do this retooling, reloading, whatever you want to call it, largely through the draft. But if the opportunity that comes out and signs, if the right guy's sitting out there at the right price, yeah, they'll go there.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, John, I'll tell you one guy that I don't think, again, taking 2018 and then applying it to right now, because we're talking about right now, I don't think they would trade the draft pick for Michael Bennett this year. Meaning the Michael Bennett of 2 years ago, at that age and that production and that salary, like that to me is the kind of move I think, and I agree with you, Ray, it's not, I mean, Howie's not saying it's literally all or nothing.
Right.
I mean, certainly there's some middle ground. It's not like they're going to not have any veteran players. But he is saying, John, like he doesn't want to have too many of them.
Right.
And I believe
it's a weeding out process.
Yeah.
It's not an all or nothing thing where it's going to happen all at once. But the way he's trending now, younger, longer deals, and, you know, it's something that I agree with you. No short-term old guys, one-year prove-it type deals. It's now going to be, you know, setting up for this free agency period. I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but it's exciting to me that we still have the possibility open that they could pay these guys, some of these young guys, young free agents.
Big-time players.
Big-time players, long-term deals.
Yeah.
That's not been eliminated by anything he said.
I agree.
So the guy I have in mind, of course, is Amari Cooper. I'm all for it. He's 26 years old. He fits everything Howie's telling us. I hope this proves to be the case.
Interesting stuff. All right, let's go to the phones right now at 888-729-9494. How do you interpret what Howie has said and what it means for specific players moving forward and you know, kind of team philosophy of how to get this thing revved up. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Ray Dininger, of course, as always from the Tasty Cake Studios. So the phones and Bill. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, how we doing, guys? First time caller to the show, but I enjoy your show and listen to it every day.
Awesome. Thank you for calling, Bill.
I appreciate what Howie said, and my number one target in the draft, without question, is Henry Ruggs. If Howie goes, trades up for this guy and gets him, would you guys be happy with that?
Yes. Absolutely.
You know,
cost of where you're giving away some picks to move up to get him, most likely.
I agree.
I like him the best. I think
if you look long term and you see, I'm sorry, if you look going into next year and Ruggs with his 4.2, he ran a 4.25 senior day and said he got off to a bad start. So you get him and a healthy Deshaun, it's going to blow the lid off the place. You're going to have a wide open middle to where your tight ends are going to be a bigger factor. You know, Miles Sanders is going to be a bigger factor because this year defense has played in on the Eagles because they didn't have a deep threat. So I like Henry Ruggs.
Me too.
And coincidentally, I am an Alabama fan, thanks to my father. And the only Alabama player ever drafted by the Eagles was Saran Stacy.
Yeah, someone said and maybe it was you. Someone told us that a month. Is it that he's the only one or that he's the last one?
He's the only one that's ever been drafted. And I can't see for the life of me why why you're not drafting, why Howie isn't drafting more out of the SEC. I mean, in my opinion, that's the best conference in football. You know, you've got a lot of striking players down here, a lot of them run pro-style offense.
You'd have a lot of support.
I like Henry. And it's
remarkable.
I was amazed that Henry, listed at 5'11", what are you just measuring with, 10.5-inch hands? You know, down at the combine. That's huge.
All right, Bill, what do you got here for a famous doctor? We're looking for the best famous doctor, but real person or fictional?
I'm going to go local. I'm going to go Big Five. I'm going to go Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Oh, that's a good one right there, Dr. Jack. Fortunately, he did beat the Sixers in an NBA Finals, but we love Dr. Jack.
Talk about coaching trees. How about the Dr. Jack Ramsey coaching tree? It's still ongoing.
Right.
Amazing.
Well, Andy's will go for 50 years too,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah. Love Dr. Jack.
Ray, did you know, I mean, I remember a caller called him, it may have been the same caller, to John and I about a month ago and said Saran Stacy's the last Alabama player taken. Did you know, I mean, we could look it up. Is that true? And did can you think of, if you didn't know it, can you remember anyone else from Alabama?
Were they saying the most recent or the only
He
one?
Said the only.
No, not true.
Not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. I know there was a guy from the University of Alabama who was on the 1960 championship team.
As a draftee?
I believe so. Yeah. Jesse Richardson.
Okay.
Who, interestingly enough, comes to you from the University of Alabama, but he's from Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
He went to Roxboro High School. He lived
that?
In my old neighborhood. He lived in East Falls.
Okay.
Was on a first-name basis with Princess Grace Kelly. How about
wow.
that?
Wow.
So they lived like a block apart in East Falls, and he went to Roxboro High School. He was known as the Roxboro Rock in high school, and went to the University of Alabama, was a good player at the University of Alabama. The Eagles drafted him, and he was started for them. He was at Eagle for 8 or 9 years, and he was part of the 1960 team. Saran Stacy, obviously a huge bust.
Yeah.
He was a first pick of one draft, but he was only a second-round pick because they traded away.
Yeah, not good.
That might have been in the Antone Davis sort of thing. But, you know, the last Alabama guy that I think I can remember on the roster was Chance Warmack.
Yeah, and he was a signing.
And he was a signing, which to me I'm still trying to – I'm scratching my head figuring out where did it all go wrong for Chance Warmack, because in college he was a – he wasn't just good. He was a great college player.
I remember.
And when the Eagles signed him off the street, I thought, boy, you reunite him with Jeff Stoutland, his old college coach. What a find.
Yeah.
You know, guy was a top 10 pick. You never see guards as a top 10 pick.
Well, you're right. And Howie made an interesting, I thought, forthcoming statement today when he, and I don't have the exact quote, but something along the lines of, you know, you got to project like kind of like who wants it. And who doesn't? I mean, he even talked about, like who cares and who doesn't care. I'm not saying Chance Warmack didn't care, but I'm saying, to your point, I know, like, people were thinking he was going to be exceptional, and he was a backup within a couple years.
Yeah.
So it obviously didn't work. Let's go to Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Great, Steve.
So my take on the whole Howie Rosen thing is, I don't think he's saying we're in rebuild mode. I think what he's trying to say is he wants to build a contender and keep a lot of the players for the upcoming years and be a contender every year without changing too much.
Yeah, I think so.
I think everybody wants to do that, though.
But I think he's close now. I think you guys are taking it out of context. I think he knows he's close. He wants to get younger.
Oh, I don't think he thinks he's close.
Contending team every year.
I think he thinks he's got the quarterback. I think what he's telling us is that there's some serious work to do. You know, he indicates, hey, he gives the definition of insanity. You know, like, hey, doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. He's saying we're branching off. We're going about this differently this year. Because the approach that worked in 17, worked less in 18, worked even less last year, is no longer the approach we're taking. We're turning over a new leaf. We're getting younger. We're bringing in younger guys for longer periods. And a lot of them are going to be draftees that we just allow to learn on the fly. Wow. I'm thinking, like, on the defensive side of the ball, it is so up in the air right now.
It is.
If you're Howie, you're like, man, okay, I mean, Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, and then I don't know.
Now, look, John, you're right. Steve, what do you got for a famous doctor?
Let's go with Dr. House.
What did he say, Dr. Who?
Dr. House.
Okay, you got it,
like
buddy.
Greg House?
Yeah. With a TV show.
The TV show. Yeah.
TV show. Ray, John had made a comment earlier, and it's a very rare comment because it actually was an interesting one that John said.
Mm-hmm.
Richie made a comment he made a comment earlier. I got to get my – listen, I take haymakers here. Every once in a while, let a guy get a little jab in, all right?
Uh-huh.
Ray, he had made a comment. He said – or a question to me. He said, who on this defense is not old that you believe in? I said, nobody. I mean, Fletcher's moving in the direction. I mean, maybe not old, but he's more on the back end than the middle, mm-hmm. front end.
Mm-hmm. Well, last season made me worry that, like, it's downhill.
I mean,
from here.
Ray, there's nobody. Whereas on offense, you know, you have Miles Sanders. Carson would still be considered young.
Sure.
Or, like, maybe, sort of starting to enter the early part of the middle of his career, but he's nowhere near old. Obviously, the Dallas Goedert is not old.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't call Lane Johnson old.
No.
Especially at his position. He should be able to go longer than Fletcher.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though Lane came out in 2013 and Fletcher came out in 2012, I mean, Lane's going to have more years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, offense, like, you got four or five guys you know are foundational pieces for a good, like, past 2022. Defense,
yeah.
You got zero.
Right.
Zero.
I don't disagree with that. I'm still holding out hope that that Barnett can be more than just a guy. I still think he has that ability. I'm a little frustrated with where he is right now, but I still think he can grow into being a good player. But other than that, yeah, not much.
Not much at all.
It sort of went under the radar a little bit. We didn't talk about it because there were so many other issues on the defense. I was a little concerned what I saw with Avante Maddox last year.
Totally agree.
You know, I really, when I saw him as a rookie, I really liked him in college. You know, I wish he were a little bigger, but I really liked his ability. I liked his competitiveness. He was just a feisty little bugger, you know. And when the Eagles drafted him, I thought, watch this guy. And the first year, he was everything I thought he was going to be, and then some. Because he showed me some versatility that I didn't know that he had. And then last year, there were so many other issues that kind of got lost a little bit. And maybe it's because they didn't let him settle into one spot and they tried to make him a jack of all trades. Maybe that sent him back. But he didn't play very well. You know, and I'm hoping that what I saw the first year wasn't some sort of an illusion and last year is really what he is. Because I think he has the ability to be a good player. I really do. In fact, he may prove to be your other safety. He may prove to be.
We talked about that earlier, Ray. Yeah. So I agree with you, particularly when you hear everything that Howie said. I think it's code for Rodney McLeod's probably not going to be back.
That's sort of how I take it, too.
Yeah. And so then the question is, you know, we got to fill it with someone. It's either someone on the roster or off the roster. Now, look, we don't know Rodney's gone, but that's kind of the way we, all three of us, interpret it. So to that point, Ray, do you feel that Avante Maddox, with what he showed in year one at safety, that you can just plug him in and he's your guy, or is that a big risk?
I'm not all that comfortable with it, and I say that as somebody who likes Avante Maddox. I think he is, to me, I look at his, in terms of his size and the way he moves his feet, to me, he's a slot defender. You know, I think his height is a real disadvantage if you play him outside. I think it's a real problem if he plays outside. And I think he's a little too small to play safety. To me, he looks, and I thought in his first year when they put him in the slot, I said, that's a fit. That's exactly the kind of guy you need in there. You know, somebody who's quick, somebody who's reactive, somebody who's not too long, but a good press man-to-man defender against the typical slot receiver. I think that's what he is. I think if you put him in the other spots, I think it's going to be a struggle for him.
Yeah. All right, 888-729-9494. Up ahead, more with Ray, including some of the best of what Howie has said over the last couple of days. In case you missed it, what he specifically said yesterday, we'll get to that up ahead as well. We'll roll all the phone calls. And again, time's yours is always at 1:45. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie with Ray Dittinger in studio on WIP. Hey, when it comes to hiring, you don't want to waste time. You need help getting to a short list of qualified candidates. You certainly want to do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. That's right. Indeed.com. Post the job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. And when you need to hire fast, make sure you accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.